We'll swap them in between.
Will you all join me in this call to worship? That I think is it going to be put up there? Okay, cool. God, your never-ending love reaches to the sky. You create a safe place for us, and we know nothing can harm us there. At God's table, everyone eats until they are filled. There isn't just enough, there is more than enough. So we eat knowing that we are blessed.
Well, good morning. I just increased the average age of our worship team here by several decades, I think. I'm not Rebecca Wheeler, but I'm going to say something about Rebecca. We've had a great weekend, and there's been a lot of moving parts here, and Rebecca's done a tremendous job for our church in leading us this week, and so thank you, Rebecca. Yeah. And it has been a great weekend of worship and mission, and so we're thankful for the team that came to lead us this weekend. You may remember last week that Tommy mentioned Ben Jameson, a friend of his, who's a pastor, Virginia Baptist pastor, and that he's had some physical issues, and this past week he had to have an emergency heart procedure, and he's doing well, according to Tommy. But we just wanted to update you on that and hope that you'll continue to pray for him and for his family as well. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Oh God, it is you and you alone that we find meaning and by whom our lives are sustained. Indeed, you do love us. Your love is eternal. It is everlasting. There's nothing that can separate us from the love that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so we come this morning as your people, brothers and sisters in Christ, to offer you our praise and thanksgiving, for you alone are the creator of the universe. Before this world even existed, you were God. Before time itself began, you were God. And we confess that such greatness is beyond our knowing. It is a mystery to us, yet you have chosen to know us, to call us by name, to love us, and to care for us, to go as far as to become even as we are. It is a wonder. It is a mystery. And while we cannot profess to understand it all, we give you thanks from the bottom of our hearts for your grace and mercy in our lives. But there are some, O God, for whom the mystery of life has turned dark and threatening. There are those who wonder why, in a world that's able to sustain us all, that they must go hungry. There are those who are locked in prison called poverty, and they wonder how they will ever escape. There are those who suffer from illness, those who suffer in body and spirit, those who suffer from grief, those who suffer the pangs of fear and persistent pain of worry and anxiety. There are those who suffer the agony of questions that seem to have no answer. And for all of these, Lord, we pray and lift them up to you. And we confess, O God, that sometimes we have tried to offer answers that were too easy, rather than to live with the uncertainty of questions. Forgive us when we try to reduce you to something more manageable than mysterious. Forgive us when we try to find the time in our daily calendars to just fit you in rather than finding our lives in you. Oh God, as we meet here to worship you as a fellowship of believers in Christ, we pray you would speak to us in song and in prayer and in the proclamation of your word. And when we prepare to leave this place, that you have strengthened us and sustained us and encouraged us to be the Easter people that you have called us to be. that you will help us not to hide our lights under a lampshade, but to be the light of the world that you've called us out to be. May our lives become more conformed to the image of your Son, and may our lives reflect his image in the lives of those we encounter, even this week. You are our God, and we are your people, and we thank you for the inheritance we can claim because you have adopted us and you have called us your children. So may your name be praised and lifted up in all that we do, all that we say, and may we truly be able to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of our lives. This is our prayer in the name of the one who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our gospel reading this morning comes from Matthew 14, 13 through 21. Now when Jesus heard about John, he withdrew from there in a boat to a secluded place by himself. And when the people had heard about this, they followed him on foot from the cities. When he came ashore, he saw a large crowd and felt compassion for them and healed their sick. Now when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This place is secluded, and the hour is already past to eat. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said to them, "They do not need to go. You give them something to eat." They said to him, "We have nothing here except 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he said, "Bring them to me." And ordering the crowds to sit down on the grass, he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looked up toward heaven. He blessed the food, and breaking the loaves, he gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they picked up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 full baskets. There were about 5,000 men who ate, besides women and children. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Okay, there we go. I am Caitlin Brown. I am an associate pastor in Norfolk, Virginia at Freemason Street Baptist Church, which kind of feels like about as far away as you can get but still be in the state. Couldn't be more different climate-wise. Like, you guys actually have mountains. Our biggest mountain is a bridge. It's actually been really confusing driving around here because I'm just not used to the mountains. It is lovely to be here with you all, and I want to reiterate the thank you. You all have been just so kind this weekend. To give you a small story, I have a dairy allergy, and there's been so many sweet people here who keep looking out for me at meals, and I just think that kindness has been present in all that you guys have done to serve our youth. I know that they're not here, but it feels like a little bit of their spirit is here as they are traveling home. I think we ended up having about 120 youth total, and the church was really hopping. There was a lot of energy. It was really sweet. So thank you all so much. Will you pray with me? Gracious Lord, we give thanks for this beautiful spring morning. We give thanks for exciting basketball wins. We give thanks for good weekends filled with lively teenagers and good service and wrestling with what it means to come to the table and that you provide enough. We are so grateful for who you are and that you love us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this whole weekend, we've been talking about coming to the table and eating and our stomachs and our bodies, anything to do with food, and which was really fitting because we did end up packing. Do you know how many meals? over 12,000 meals. And they would pack these boxes of this rice and protein mix, and I don't know if you all have done it before, but just in case you haven't, these boxes would be able to supposedly feed a child for a whole year. And it was amazing to watch the youth at work. So this weekend has been a lot on food, and so that is where we find ourselves today again with this text this morning. Do you ever feel like you don't have enough? Maybe enough time to get all your to-do lists done, mop the floor and get all the chores done and the pesky laundry? Or maybe if you have gotten enough snacks and enough food from the groceries for the week from the store? Or for the youth this weekend, if they had packed enough clothes, middle school boys, they're really bad at this, packed enough clothes to change into? I think a very recent memorable point of scarcity, and recent memory for me at least, was the great toilet paper run of April 2020. Yeah, you all know. The youth didn't quite know. I think their parents shielded them. I remember hearing people mention fears of maybe not enough toilet paper or maybe it running out, and I think I dismissed that. But then people responded by buying all of the toilet paper that they can, and one of my dear family members just confessed that she still has a hoard of it in her attic. So, and I remember, and you all might remember too, people would post on Nextdoor and Facebook and all these different Facebook groups about where they had seen toilet paper or where maybe a shipment would be coming into the grocery store and where we maybe could possibly find it. And my husband and I are not great bulk shoppers. We're really bad at it. And so I still remember really pointedly getting down to that last roll of toilet paper and hoping, man, oh man, I hope there's toilet paper when we go to the grocery store tomorrow. It was quite a trip. Scarcity, or the fear of not having enough, is a really normal thing. Great moments of scarcity have happened a lot. They've happened many times in recent American history, in towns and regions after natural disasters, or in moments of economic unrest, or in global disasters. For every story, though, of scarcity, of hoarding and holding tight and leaning into our fear, there are also good stories of community and of sharing. One great example of this happened in 2001, after the September 11th attacks. I remember that day. I was only in fourth grade, but I remember my mom picking me up from school and going to go fill up our car with gas because we didn't know if there was going to be enough to go get to our family. But other people responded a little differently, like the whole island of Newfoundland, Canada. It forced them into a moment of sharing. A few weeks ago, I got to go see the Broadway touring musical Come From Away, but you can also watch it on Apple TV, and there's a whole book written on it too. I just don't quite remember the title, but it's called Come From Away. And the play tells the story how in September of 2001, the island of Newfoundland and its teeny-tininess, its 5,000 residents, all of a sudden found themselves with 7,000 guests. In response to 9/11, this makes sense for us here. The United States had chosen to close off our airspace to all air travel. But that meant that those on flights into the United States from all over the world immediately, mid-flight, got rerouted to somewhere else. And they all had to land somewhere. And so quite a few of those flights found themselves sent to a random airstrip in Newfoundland. What transpired on that island with this surprise influx of people is really nothing short of a miracle. For all the residents, they pulled together their resources, their food, clothing, shelter, medicine, everything. People needed it all. They weren't supposed to be going to Newfoundland. And they shared it all for the stranded and confused travelers in their midst. It's really lovely. You guys should watch it if you get a chance. In one poignant scene, a frightened family from Africa is on a bus in rural Newfoundland, being taken who knows where, and a land that is not where they're supposed to be going. Because you see, to house these 7,000 people, they had to get creative. They sent some to houses, and this bus was headed to a Red Cross camp. But they didn't know that. They didn't speak the language. And this scared family who didn't speak the language, they arrived at a camp, and it was managed by people in military uniforms, and it was the dead of night. How terrifying would that be? Very naturally, they are frightened, and they freeze. They don't want to get off the bus. They don't want to go into the place where those people with guns are standing, and I wouldn't either. But the bus driver, the narrator of this scene in the musical, he stops, and he notices that there's a language barrier, and he doesn't quite know how to tell them, don't be afraid. So then he realizes one thing, that the wife, she's clutching her Bible. And he realizes that's something that they have in common. So the bus driver asks to borrow her Bible, and maybe he even takes it. But then he flips quickly, racking his brain to remember a Bible passage of peace, because he doesn't know how to translate, but the Bible can translate for them. And he flips to Philippians 4, verse 6, be anxious for nothing. He flips to it, and he passes it to her. And they read it, and they can breathe. In that moment of fear, they find a communal language of faith and of trust. The family reads that verse in their own language, and they understand that they can trust that driver. They're being reminded to not be afraid, that they can trust what they're walking into, that maybe it's going to be okay, and they're set at ease. And in this moment of scarcity and fear, they are sharing a common faith. How lovely is that? The whole play is experienced like one giant party, moments of connection and community and abundance in the midst of this great, fearful tragedy. They're working hard to provide for one another and meet each other's needs. It is the opposite of hoarding in moments of scarcity, but a whole play of sharing in abundance with one another. Our scripture for this morning, it isn't grounded in a moment of national crisis or pain, but it is a moment where people would have been terribly hungry. And if some of you get hangry, you do understand that that can be a crisis all of its own. They would have been away from their homes, away from their comforts, and they would have been in need of good food. The crowd, had been outside of town, somewhere remote, and Jesus had been busy performing miracles for them all day. They had kept arriving in hopes of being healed. He spent all day healing people. And while the disciples reminded him of the lack of time and what time it was, and that it really was time to send these people home to go eat, and they reminded him that there was no food out here where we were in the remoteness, Jesus seemed keen on performing yet another miracle. But instead of healing bodies this time, he meets another physical need. He feeds them. The disciples are clearly skeptical. They say, "We only have a little here, Jesus, and I don't know about this." But Jesus says, "Bring it here." Like my mom would say, "Bring it here and let me fix it." And what do you know? They pass it out, and it just keeps spreading. There is more than enough for them all to eat. More than enough for all of them to be full. And just like the manna in the desert that the youth and I all talked about on Friday night, they all have enough to eat and be satisfied. And that day, they ended up feeding 5,000 men, plus Lord knows how many women and children. There is no scarcity in this story. There is more than enough for everyone. This story and the story that the youth and I talked about on Friday of the manna from heaven is a declarative statement that God gives us enough. So, what do we do with stories like that? Reminders that God gives each of us enough. What might it mean for your life and for mine, and how we all choose to live. How does this impact the tiny little decisions that we make each day, and the bigger ones too as well? One way, very explicitly, is to follow in the footsteps of Jesus and to continue to find ways to share God's abundance with others, like the youth did this weekend as we packed meals and built good beds. We find ways to share God's abundance in how we share our time and our resources. Because if God has given me enough, then I also have enough to share with others. This fruit of the Spirit, generosity, looks like these high, holy mountain moments of mission madness, but they also look like the small moments of sharing our time with someone in crisis, or sharing a piece of candy, or even sharing kind words. Believing in God's enough, God's more than enough for each and every one of us is a difficult thing because some of us have experienced times of not having enough, while others can only imagine what that might look like. But in this story, we see those who have, bringing what they have to Jesus, Jesus blessing it and extending it to feed everyone, the rich and the poor, the sick and the healed. And while it will never solve all of our world's economic problems, believing in God's abundance and sharing what we can is like getting to take a small glimpse at the kingdom of God, at the world as God intended it to be, and the world as God hoped it would be. Looking inward, God's abundance for us, for our souls, is most realized to me in the words of Henry Nouwen in the book Life of the Beloved, and maybe some of you all have read it. Henry Nouwen was a lovely Dutch Catholic priest who wrote these kind, small books on faith that were really quite popular, and they still are, even though he died in 1996. I think one of the reasons his books are so lovely, so timeless, and so widely read is because he speaks to those moments in our lives that we all do feel, where we feel like we are not enough to God. He writes to some of our deepest fears of inadequacy and reminds his readers that God has called us beloved. For God so loved the world, and you and I are a part of that world. God loves us. Think on that for a minute. That powerful phrase, we are the beloved of God. It does not mean that it means that we do not have to prove to a soul that we are worthy of love. God chose to love each of us. Nouwen writes, to be chosen as the beloved of God is something radically different. Instead of excluding others, it includes others. Instead of rejecting others as less valuable, it accepts others in their own uniqueness. It is not a competitive, but a compassionate choice. Our minds have great difficulty in coming to grips with such a reality. Maybe our minds will never understand it. Perhaps it is only our hearts that can accomplish this. Every time we hear about chosen people, chosen talents, or chosen friends, we almost automatically start thinking about elites and find ourselves not far from feelings of jealousy, anger, or resentment. Not seldom has that perception of others as being chosen led to aggression, violence, and war. He's saying, you are the chosen, but also we are chosen. Because in God's provision and love, there is more than enough to go around for each and every one of us here. And so, if I am enough and we are enough, then maybe we don't have to live into envy or greed or selfishness as our modes of survival to make it in this world. Maybe we could just live as enough, God gives to us in abundance so that we can give to others in abundance as well. We've thought a lot about food and stomachs and feasting this weekend at Mission Madness. And the youth had great opportunities to put their faith into action as they've done projects, but they've also spent their time loving one another, learning to get along. If you've spent time with youth, you know that is a miracle in and of itself. But thinking on the song that they played, did you guys play it this morning? Oh, great, it's next. Good timing, thank you. Thinking on the song that you will next get to hear, the youth got to hear it every time in worship, so thankfully it became an earworm for them. But it's such a good earworm because it's full of good truth and goodness. And I hope you hear it, and I hope it gets stuck in your ear too. Because it's got a message. Come to the table. Come as you are. The party is waiting. It's a message worth remembering. You are invited to join this feast of God's abundance just as you are, no matter your age or ability or anything else. Our individual responses to this idea of enough is as varied as the stars in the sky. To know that God gives you enough and that you, wonderful you, are enough. Know that. And for that, we say, thanks be to God. Will you close with me in prayer? Gracious Lord, we give thanks that you call us beloved and that you give to us in abundance. Continue to reveal to us just how much you love us so that we might love you too. Continue to teach us and to show us. Open our hearts to you. We love you, O Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we're going to be entering into a time of reflection. And for the youth, and I don't know if these booklets are back there, there are some little fidgets back there, I guess, like paper and other things that you might be interested in. But in this time of response, I invite you all to consider these questions. And you also can sing or just sit and pray or just breathe. But I invite you to prayerfully consider this question. How might we pray knowing God wants to give us more than we can ever want? And how might it change how we treat others knowing there is more than enough to go around? As we prepare to go, hear these words of benediction that we spoke over the students each night. May the God of peace make us whole, the one who loves us, remembers us, and works among all that is good. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Go in peace.